I want to thank everyone for coming out to spend some time learning together. Likras Chanukah. So as Rabbi Neuber pointed out, our shiurim are going to addressing Chanukah from three different perspectives. And I guess I'm going first because I'm looking to the earliest point. Looking before Chanukah even happened. So I left a sort of hanging tie, two options. I always like to keep my options open. The two options in the title. Either it's Is Chanukah in Tanakh or Where is Chanukah in Tanakh? Well, often the answer should be an obvious, resounding no. Chanukah is not in Tanakh because Chanukah hadn't even happened yet. As a matter of fact, the Rambam, I think the Rav pointed out in one of the Shiurim on Chanukah, one of the recorded Shiurim on Chanukah, that the Rambam opens his Mishnah Torah. Rambam's Mishnah Torah is certainly in the Beis Medrash his most famous work and his most overwhelming work. And when we say Rambam, we usually mean Rambam's Mishnah Torah, which is a compendium of all of Torah Shel Peh. He said, you'll have Tanakh, and then you'll have my Sefer, and you'll have all the basics. He drew in his Mishnah Torah from Mishnayos and Toseftas and Gemaras and so on and so forth, Midrashim, a compendium of all the outcomes, all the maskanas of the Torah Shel Peh. Obviously, he has an area where he discusses each of the Yom Tovim, but only in Hilchas Chanukah does he begin with the story itself. Pesach, when he discusses Pesach, Sukkos, he jumps right into the Dinim. But Chanukah, he begins with a historical background. The Rav pointed out that's because all the other Yom Tovim, their stories appear in the Tanakh. The story of Pesach, the story of Sukkos, the story of Purim all have their home in the Tanakh. Only Chanukah has no home in the Tanakh because Chanukah occurs a couple of centuries after the Tanakh was closed. The period of the Tanakh extended for around 1,000 years after Matan Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Chamisha Chumshei Torah at Har Sinai over the course of the 40 years in the Midbar, and then the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael for a couple hundred years. And then they build a Beis Hamikdash under Shlomo HaMelech, the first Beis Hamikdash that lasts for over 400 years, and that's destroyed. The Jews go into Galus for 70 years of Galus Bavel, and then when after the rise of the Persian Empire, when the Persians conquer the Babylonians, one of the Persian emperors, Koresh, gives a series of the Persian emperors, really give Kalal Yisrael the right to return and the right to build a Beis HaMikdash. We build the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, still as a part of the Persian Empire. And later on, around the middle of the period of the Bayi Sheni, when the Jews revolt against the Greeks, the next empires have taken over to have conquered the Persians. And that's when the Jews attain their freedom in Eretz Yisrael, and that's when the Nes of Chanukah occurs. But the last of the Nevi'im were at the very beginning of the Bayi Sheni. The Gemara tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu would have ended Nevuah already at the time of Galus Bavel, but he said we need another three Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. They're going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to enable us to give us the direction to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Nes of Chanukah occurs a couple of centuries after Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, a couple of centuries into the Bayi Sheni period, a couple of centuries after the end of the Tkufa of Tanakh. So we don't expect to find the story of Chanukah in the Tanakh. The last Yom Tov whose story appears, of course, is Purim. That happens at the end of the Galus. But there are many Ramazim. There are many allusions and hints to the story of Chanukah. And the truth is, once you're looking not for the actual story being told, but hints of the Nevi'im, there's actually a lot. And it almost seems like there's too much. And it almost seems like they're going in too many different directions. The most extensive conversation is certainly in Sefer Daniel. A number of us have been learning the first half of Sefer Daniel on Wednesday nights. The first half of Sefer Daniel is his stories of Daniel and his chaverim, his interactions with the emperors of Babel, and ultimately with some of the emperors of Persia as well. The second half of Sefer Daniel are the nevuos and the visions, the chazonos that he has, and some of them speak explicitly about coming world events. And Daniel speaks explicitly, he's told explicitly, about Persia, which already was in power, and about the rise of Greece, and about the rise of Yavan. The first of those visions is Perek Zayin, and that's a very famous one where he speaks about he sees four creatures, and those four creatures refer to the four Malchios. In Perek Ches, which we'll take a look at in a moment, he has a further chazon This is right before the fall of Babel. There's a further chazon where he sees specifically at the middle too. And he sees a vision in Perek Ches. Ve'era b'chazon in Pasuk Beis. He's in Shushan Habira. Babel is still in power, but at least in his vision, if not in reality, in Machlokas Mefarshim, he's already seeing Shushan, which is going to be the center of power in the upcoming Persian Empire. And he sees these two enormous animals. There's this isle, there's this ram, and it's incredibly powerful. And then a goat comes and attacks the ram and totally destroys the ram. And he's told by the Malach Gavriel, what that means. In Pasuk Perekhes, Pasuk Chaf, Ha'el Shere Issa, the ram you saw, that was Persia, which is right now very powerful. And that goat that came from the side and demolished the ram, that stands for Yavan, which is whose power is coming. So the Malbim sees in this parak a hint to Chanukah. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'ad Sarat Tzava Higdil U'Imenu Huram HaTamid. The general will grow, and the Tamid will be raised. The Hashlach Mechon Mikdasho. But then the Mikdash will be tossed aside. So that's, for the Malbim, a reference to Chanukah, a reference to the Sar HaTzavah or the Chashmonaim, and they're going to upraise what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash, Huram HaTamid, but then it's going to all fall apart. The Hashlach Mechon Mikdasho. And this entire Nevuah leaves Daniel very, very down. The very end, Ani Daniel Pasuk Chav Zayin, he after this whole Nevuah, Niyesi V'Nechleisi, he was sick for days, and then he goes back to working for the emperor, but he was Eshtomei Mesamar. He was terribly thrown by this. He was terribly thrown by this in part because he saw that there were many more Malchios to come. There was plenty more Gaulos to come. He's still holding at this point the end of Gaulos Bavel. Yirmiyahu told them Gaulos Bavel would have a limit, but now he's seeing that there are more Gaulios to come. Perhaps also he's upset because he's seeing that Chanukah, there's going to be some sort of bump up during the time of Yavan, but it's not going to last. And Beis HaMikdash will be, things are going to go backwards afterwards, and the Beis Hashmonam, the later generations, went south. And it's not going to be all roses. See, he was very, very upset. As a matter of fact, in Perek Yud Aleph, later on, the last vision of Daniel, which stretches over Perek Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, Rashi points to a reference to Chanukah, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf, Mavir Noges, Heder Malchus. The Navi Daniel speaks about a man who will take away the Noges. Someone's going to arise, the Beis Chashmonai, and they're going to remove the rule of the Yavanim, and they're going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's vehicle to reestablish Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Israel, and it's going to be wonderful, Heder Malchus. But then V'yamim Achadim Yishaver, after a short period of time, it's going to break apart. V'lo ba'pain v'lo b'mulchama, it's not even going to be with war. And Rashi explains that there was internal. This is the beginning of the Sinas Chinam that destroyed Second Beis Hamikdash. Was the corruption in later generations? The great grandchildren of the Chashmonaim did not keep to their great grandparents Madrega. Hurkan and Aristobul. You have literally brothers who are fighting for power. And one of them, they're literally fighting over Yerushalayim militarily for control. They invite the Romans in to help them, and that's the beginning of the end. We're going to do it to ourselves. It's a dark picture, and in the later on Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed, the Malbim understands that this parak is telling the story of Yavan going into Rome with nary a reference to the glory of Beis Chashmonai that would come in between the fall of Greece and the rise of Rome. V'za'am al Bris Kodesh. All it says is, we're telling the story of Yavan. Yavan's going to be powerful. And then Pasuk Lamed says, oh, and Rome is going to come and overthrow the Bris Kodesh, overthrow Beis Chashmonai. And as we were just talking about, Hurkan and Aristobulus invite the Romans in. So it's a very dark picture. Chanukah is going to be a little bump. It's nice, but then it's over. A lot of stress on that it's going to be temporary. And then, as the Malbim points out in Perek Yud Aleph, you may not even have a reference to Chanukah. It's just a... It's what came before Rome. It's a difficult picture. It's a difficult picture. And yet, on the other hand, you go back 1,000 years earlier, Chumash Bamidbar, and there's a very famous Rashi and a comment to the Ramban. B'haloschas Aneros, after the whole Parshas Naso, all the Nasiim bring Karba, the Mishkan opens for business, the very first Mikdash in Jewish history, and the first 12 days of Mikdash, first 12 days of Mishkan, so each of the, every day, as we know, is different. We're going to learn these Psukim Yitzchak Hashem very soon on Chanukah. Every day, a different Nasi brings Karbanos, and that was the Chanukah of the Mishkan. That was the inauguration of the Mishkan. And right after that discussion, which leads to the end of Parshas Naso, the Torah picks up in Baalosra. Kashbo says to Aaron HaKohen, you're going to light the Neres. Baalosra's on Neres. So Rashi quotes from Chazal, what's the Kesher Advarim? Why is menorah, more than anything else, the natural next step from the Karbanos HaNesiim? So Rashi makes a comment, which the Ramban takes in a slightly different direction, that Aaron HaKohen is feeling bad. Every single Shevet is represented. Every single Shevet had a Nasi that brought Karbanos. And Shevet Levi's left out, so he felt terrible. Chol Shadaito. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry. Shalcha Gidol Mishalahem. What you is far greater than they. Sha'ata Madluk HaMetiv Zaneris. You have Hadlakas HaMenor. That's what Rashi says. Ramban says, I don't understand. If you want to tell Aaron that he's going to work in the Beis HaMikdash, there are loads of things. He does everything in the Beis HaMikdash, not just Hadlakas HaMenorah. All the Karbanos that the Nisim brought, they offered the Karbanos, but who actually did the Avodah? The Kohanim. So why Dafka the Menorah? And if it's something they actually, the Nisim were offering their own, Aaron isn't offering his own. So in what way is Menorah somehow a response to Aaron's Chalishas Hadas? So Ramban says something fascinating. Ramban says, this is not just about Hadlakas HaMenorah in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a reference to the Menorah of Beis HaShmonai. This is a reference to the Neris of Chanukah. Ata Madlok HaMetiv HaNeris, you, Kohanim, are going to be the central figures of HaShmonai, or Kohanim, and that's and why is that so significant? Because Ramban says, because all the other Karbanos, yes, and the Nesim are evolved to Karbanos, but Karbanos will come and go. Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and that will be the end of Karbanos for a very long time. Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, we should have Karbanos back again. We haven't had them for almost 2,000 years. But we do have Neres Chanukah. We lit them last year, we lit them 100 years ago, lit them 1,000 years ago, Mitzvah will light them again next week. The Neres Chanukah have been consistent in a way that Karbanos sadly have not. And that was the message to Aaron HaKohen. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to lift his spirits. So on the one hand, Ner Chanukah is, and Daniel, it's just a little bump. On the other hand, it's the ultimate, it's the ultimate continuity of Mikdash is Ner Chanukah. And we actually will, even wonder, well, Ner Chanukah, but that's not exactly what's going on in Baalosra. So how do you make sense of this? So Chanukah apparently is complex, and Chanukah apparently has a lot to tell us about Galus, and maybe also about Geula. You take a look at let's take a brief look for the next couple of minutes at two Nevi'im that lived after Daniel. I mentioned before that the last three Nevi'im were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They're already back in Eretz Yisrael, overseeing and encouraging and guiding the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So there's some curious comments that Haggai has. Haggai, the Mesil Sisharim, when he talks about the need to think things through and not just do things because, but to actually think decisions through, he points to Haggai as one of the examples. That was Haggai's overall message to Klal Yisrael. We only have two prakim of Haggai. He says he comes to Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash is sort of like it was a construction project that had paused in the middle. The Beis HaMikdash, it was half built and it just sort of stopped. Beis HaMikdash, hard to imagine. The Jews could build the second Beis HaMikdash and it just, even the Beis HaMikdash got frozen in the middle. And Haggai comes and says, Rav Osai, we need to figure this out. Let's rethink. How are we going to do this? And then he says, that's the message in Perek Aleph. But then he says, we're going to, Perek Aleph, Paschaf, Aluhar, let's go back up to the mountain. Harabais, Habesameis, bring wood. Benu Abais, build Beis HaMikdash. The Eretz Abo V'i Kavda. Omar Hashem. Kosh Baruch says, I want this Beis HaMikdash. and I'm going to find great kavod in this Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara comments that the missing hay, the ikavda, but as you see it's written, the ikaved, references the fact that there were at least five different dimensions that were missing in the Beis HaMikdash, in the second Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't as spiritual. And Chagai goes on to say in the second parak, something that gives us pause. He says, who are the older people who remember the first Beis HaMikdash? It was so spiritual, there were so many nisim, there was so much gilui shechina. Matem romo sarata, what do you see now? The second Beis HaMikdash? Hello kamo ka'ayin beinechem. It's like nothing. Architecturally beautiful, but there's no abis hashoras hashchina, the way there was in the olden days. They don't have the same nisim, they didn't have the luchos, they didn't have the Urim V'tumim. So much of the spiritual glow was missing. But then Chagai says turns to them, next passage, but Chazak Zerubbabel, be strong. Yoshua the Kohen Gadol, be strong. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm still with you. Gadol Yieh and Pasuk Tes, Kvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. Don't worry, the covet of this latter Beis HaMikdash will be even greater than the first one. So now we're really wondering, What's going on here? He says to them, you got to build a Beis HaMikdash. It won't be the same, but build a Beis HaMikdash. He says, and then he even says to them, the second Beis HaMikdash is not as impressive as the first one, but don't worry, it'll be even more impressive. Well, was it or wasn't it? And the Gemara tells us the second Beis HaMikdash, all the way through, this is the very beginning of that period, but all the way throughout the second Beis HaMikdash, Gemara tells us in Yuma repeatedly, it was not as spiritual as the first one. The Kohanim Gadol were not as spiritual. The Beis HaMikdash itself was not as full of Nisim. There was no Ara, there was no Luchos, and so on and so forth. But it wasn't, but it was. How do you make sense of this? And then the final hint is the last date given in Chagai, the very next Pasuk, is the 24th of Chi. Chaf Dalad Kislev. Fascinating. The last of the upcoming Nevuah, and he actually says at the end, we'll come back. He makes a deal of the 24th of Kislev. The 24th of Kislev is going to be the beginning of a process. And you see, Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Chet. Miyom esrim va'arbar latshi ulumin hayom asher yusad eichal Hashem simu luvavchem. We need to focus, we need to work from the 24th of Kislev and on until Beis HaMikdash. Fascinating. And in that pasuk lies an important idea. An important idea that Rav Shechter in Mikveh Atzon quotes an approach of the Rav. The Nevuah of Zechariah, the Nevuah of Zechariah's menorah, which we lay more than once a year. It's coming up very soon. Zechariah in Perek Dalet had this vision, and he sees, Zechariah is full of very vivid visions. He sees in Perek Dalet, he sees a menorah. And the menorah, Zahav Kula, the Gulal, Roshah, there's a whole system atop the menorah. And they were like this, it's like almost like a Lahavdil, Alfi Avdal, like a Rube Goldberg. You have the olive trees are there, and the olives just sort of fall off the trees into a whole contraption. And by the time the contraption is done, there's oil pouring in perpetual motion. The oil is pouring into the menorah, and the menorah stays lit. So he says in Pasuk Dalad, he says to the Malach, what is this Ma'ela Adoni? What does this all mean? So you expect the Malach to say, here's what it means. But instead, the Malach answers the question. He says, don't you know? Don't you know? He says, Lo Adoni, I don't know. That's why I asked you. An odd Pasuk. Then he goes on to say, Zedvar Hashem el Zerubbabel emor lo b'chayv lo b'koch ki'im beruchi. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Zerubbabel, this is an incredible message of hope. It's not with strength, it's with Ruach Hashem. And what all these seem to come to is that Chanukah, as Rav Shechter develops very beautifully in Bikur Hatzon, the Chanukah was a Yom Tov not just for the Bayis Sheni. Within the context of Bayis Sheni alone, as Daniel said, Bayis Sheni was there was a lot of darkness, and Bayis Sheni didn't last forever, and they went back into Galus. And as a matter of fact, as the Gemara in Yumas tells us, from that pasuk in Shir Hashirim, "Imchom ahinivel atiras kasef, imdalzi notzrele luacharas." That Shlomo already told them centuries before, if we would come back for the second Beis HaMikdash, kechoma, if all Jews would come back, it would have been permanent. Imdalzi, we came back slightly. Yes, no, maybe notzrele luacharas. It's going to be wood. It will last for a while. It will ultimately decay. It won't be the same, and it won't be permanent. They knew when they saw the degree of Aliyah, they knew that the Bayis Sheni was temporary. And so on the one hand, and Daniel's already seen that, perhaps even before, that there's going to be a Malchus Yavin, there's going to be a Malchus Romin, Hanukkah will come in the middle, but it's going to be temporary. And then we go back into Galus, and in a sense, even more deeply, for certainly a far longer Galus. But at the same time, Chagai is telling them both sides of this coin. On the one hand, this Beis HaMikdash you're building now, it's not going to be as impressive as the first Beis HaMikdash. At the same time, Galia Kvoda Bayis Hazeh HaAchron Rishon. This Beis HaMikdash is going to lead to the Achron. This Beis HaMikdash is a preparation for the third Beis HaMikdash. Even halachically, Briskerov points out, when Zechariah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to tell Zerubbabel, lo b'chaya b'lo b'koach, the first Beis HaMikdash, its Kedusha was temporary and ended when it was destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash, its Kedusha was permanent. Why? The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around was temporary. Why? Because it was b'chaya b'koach. Rambam says, the first Kedusha was the Kedusha of Kibush. When the Kibush was gone, the Kedusha was gone. But the second Kedusha was a Kedusha of moving in, Beruchi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had moved the emperors to send the Jews back, and that Kedusha was permanent. And the Bayis Sheni was a straight line drawn from the Bayis Sheni to the Bayis HaShlishi. Within the context of the Bayis HaSheni, it was dark. Within the context of Bayis HaSheni, it looked like Hanukkah was just a temporary bump up, and it seemed to have disappeared. But what Chagai is telling us is something starting Chaf Dalet Kislev that's going to continue all the way until the Bayis HaShlishi. Chanukah was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's opportunity to tell us, even though I'm already less apparent in the second Bayis HaMikdash than I am in the first Bayis HaMikdash. You're going to go into Galus and it's going to be a long, long, long dark Galus, but I'm telling you now that I'm with you all the way throughout. I'm telling you now, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron, that the Neres Chanukah will last forever, meaning that the Nes Chanukah was an insight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be with us even in Galus. It was already after the period of Nevuah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite that, made a Nes to tell us that even when I'm not apparent, I am there. And that's part of the significance of the mitzvah of Chanukah, is to maintain that awareness that even when there are no Nevi'im, and even when the period of Nevuah is over, and even when things are literally and sometimes figuratively the darkest of the dark, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that He's holding our hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that He's with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that, as we see in this week and the coming parashiyos, so even when it looks like Galus is closing in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already has processes of geula slowly unfolding. Baruch Hashem, in our time, we have been zocha to see so many of the nevuos of Zechariah happen before our eyes. In Mehera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezakas to see the completion of the Ner Chanukah with the restoration of menorah in the Bayis HaShlishi.